Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. Your host, Mr. Jono Petrohilos, currently generates over $1 million a year selling his online courses. And now he teaches you how to do the same. Along with listening to our podcast, make sure to join the Course Creator Community Facebook group. It's one of the largest and most engaged Facebook groups in the space. You'll find the link in the show notes. Anyway, let's get to today's show.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. I am super excited because we have an absolute rock star on the line this week. I know I say that about every guest every week, but this person actually is. Listen to this resume. He's certified by YouTube in audience growth. He's a YouTube strategist, and so far he's helped his clients organically reach over 18 billion views. I thought that was a spelling mistake. I had to go in and double check it. That's billion with a B. They've got over 61 million subscribers. His company, Video Creators, has been featured on Fox, Forbes, BBC, and YouTube themselves. He's done YouTube strategy for Disney, Warner Brothers, eBay, Budweiser, HBO, plus more. Even more impressive than all of that, him and his wife have had over 7 kids in 8 years. So he must be a master at time management as well. So without further ado, let me introduce the one and only founder and director at Video Creators, all the way from Ohio, Mr. Tim Schmoyer. Tim, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm awesome. Bit out of breath after that intro, but that's, that's what happens when you have good people on you. Tim, I like to start all my podcasts off with a quote or mantra that inspires you or fires you up. Have you got one for us?
Yeah, this one comes from a former client of ours, Dave Ramsey, who's a radio personality over here. Have you heard of Dave Ramsey?
Huge fan of Dave Ramsey. Big in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So one of his things that he says is if you live like no one else, so later you can live like no one else. Mm. And his idea is like, you say no to things now, you live on a budget and so that you can say yes to better things later. And that's certainly been true for my wife and I. One of the reasons I was able to start this company is because we followed his process. We're debt free and we were able to take that financial risk to start this because we weren't working our cash over to other people every month. And it certainly worked out. So yeah, that's become true for us. We lived like no one else. We lived on rice and beans and rice, he says. And here we are today, debt free and doing a lot of crazy stuff on YouTube and with family and things like that. So yeah, it's been fun. So yeah, live like no one else. So later you can live like no one else.
Love that. So I'm a fan of a similar one. I can't remember it exactly, but it's along the lines of, you know, spend a couple years, you know, doing the hard stuff and then reap the benefits later on. Cause it's like most things in life require sacrifice to be successful, right? My background's in fitness. You want to get fit? Hey, you know, you're going to have to put the hard work in exercise-wise, but you're going to get fit. You have to put the hard work in nutrition, short-term pain for long-term gain. So I love that.
Yeah, one of the sayings we have with our kids is that good work brings good reward. So if you want good reward, it takes good work. You don't get good reward just, you know, by sitting around and doing nothing. So
agree 100%. Now, looking at your resume, looks like you know a thing or two about YouTube, Tim. How did that come about? Were you one of those child YouTube stars that you just went on there and had this channel? Were you always a film guy? How did you get into YouTube?
No, yeah. So I was in graduate school, so not a child. I was graduating university and was into my master's degree. And it was 2005 when YouTube started. And in 2006, I'm dating a girl halfway across the country from my family, and I'm looking for a way to introduce her to my family back home. And so I found this site called YouTube. I'm like, oh, I wonder if I could just put videos for my family of us here. And so that's what we did. I had a little 8mm camera and used that to make little videos of us going out on dates, going out to the park, going out to the movies, going out to eat, things like that. And today we would probably know them as vlogs, but back then that wasn't a word. It was, you know, just being awkward in public with a camera. And so I'd make those little videos and then send the links to people back home because, like, it's perfect. I don't have to attach an MOV file to an email. They can just click it and it plays instantly. It was great. And along the line, somewhere, like, other people started watching these videos. And I was like, whoa, 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 hold on. Like, who are you? Where are you coming from? Why are you commenting on my videos? Because if you remember back in MySpace days, you don't use your real name on the internet. Like, everything I was hearing in traditional media was saying, like, the internet's a scary place. If you use your real name there, people will hunt you down and kill you for some reason. And I was like, what? So I was like, who is CatLicker72 and why do they keep commenting on my videos? Right? Like, should I be concerned here? So that's when I started digging into, like, how are these people finding me? Why do they keep coming back? Why are they watching these videos? They're not even for them in the first place. And back then there wasn't a YouTube industry, there was like a few of us, three of us total, two other guys and me, trying to figure out, like, how does this platform work? How what's going on here? And we started digging into it. Long story short, figured a thing or two out. And at that time, I ended up marrying that lady, that girl. And we kept making videos together. We were reaching about a million people a month, which back then was unheard of.
Same channel, Tim, with the
same channel. The vlogging. And people are just asking, like, how are you doing it? What's going on? And at the time, I'm a youth pastor at a small church, and I love working with students and teenagers and their families and seeing those relationships restored and things. But I was working with about 180 students a week in the youth group. But on YouTube, we were reaching over a million. Mm-hmm. And I was hearing more stories of life change and impact happen. I was hearing more of those stories coming out of what we were doing on YouTube than I ever saw in vocational stuff I was doing inside of a church. I'm not trying to knock on the church necessarily, but I'm just saying, like, my experience was like, we were seeing way more impact on YouTube. So skip ahead a little bit. I'm like, if I'm really serious about reaching people and changing their lives, I think YouTube is the right tool for this. And so ended up going full time on YouTube in the very early days to start Video Creators in 2013. And I was like, if I want to actually have a bigger impact, I'm reaching my million people a month, but what if I could help a million other people reach their million people a month? Right? Like, then what kind of impact could I scale in the world? Like, I'm not going to get credit for it, so I can come back to me, but I don't care if I can help other people who have messages that could change the world. Like, I want to support those people and help those people get the same results, because then I'll have a much bigger impact on the world than if it was just me trying to be famous and popular by myself. Right. So I went all in on that with Video Creators, started it to reach people and change lives. And it's been an amazing journey doing strategy for all these creators, and even contracted by YouTube themselves to train them on stuff about how their platform works and stuff. So it's been quite a ride to get to where we are today. Like you mentioned, over 18 billion views we can take credit for now through our clients. And the number has been updated. Now it's 81 million subscribers. Wow. That we've helped our clients generate. So we've got it down to a very reproducible, predictable process. And it's been like a lot of
fun. Australia's 80 million people.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So 20 million in this country. You can, a lot of subscribers.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, our BHAG, our big, hairy, audacious goal for our business was to a touch point. Everyone in the world would have a touch point with a message that could potentially change their life. Mm. But there's not 18 billion people in the world. Like, yeah. Like what, 7 billion or something? Well,
I was going to make a joke.
How do we go bigger? I don't know.
In the world.
Yeah, our BHAG was pretty big. We hit it. So now we're like, all right, well, let's just keep going. Let's just, you know, how many people's lives can we impact and change through what we're doing here? So, yeah, been fun. Wow.
That's super inspiring for me. I'm not a huge YouTuber. I like it as a consumer. And I've always half dabbled, but that's super inspiring. After hearing that, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should give it another crack. Maybe I should make another crack. Maybe I should reach out to Tim, do his program, because that's inspiring. But let's sell it to our audience, right? And let's go the positives and the negatives, right? Most people listening to this, Tim, are a course creator. So they do have content. They are a creator. They do have a message. It's just, I guess from their side of things, they're going to be like, well, I got this course, but how do I get it out there into the world? And there's many different options. And with marketing these days, you know, every ad I see on my feed is selling me a different platform. Here's why YouTube's the best. Here's why LinkedIn's the best. Here's why Facebook ads are the best. let's hear, and I have different experts on different topics all the time, but I'd love to hear the YouTube perspective, Tim. Why should someone do it and why should they not?
Let's take a quick break.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Well, let me first say that I'm not necessarily a YouTube fanboy. I'm more of a like a Change Lives fanboy.
Gotcha.
And I just happen to think in my story, my experience, YouTube was an amazing platform to do that. But it's certainly not the only one. I think of YouTube as a tool that we can have in our tool belt. You don't take out a rake and try to drive nails, and you don't take a hammer and try to clean up the leaves in your yard, right? Like, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with those tools when people are like, oh, the hammer doesn't work. Well, you're using it for the wrong job, right? Yeah. So I'm more of a fan of, even with our clients, we don't jump, especially someone who like hasn't started on YouTube yet, we don't jump straight to YouTube as like, all right, this is how we got to do. Like, it's the multi, like, yeah, we want to figure out what are you actually trying to accomplish? And then is YouTube the right tool for that? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's podcasting. Sometimes it's LinkedIn. Sometimes it's Instagram. Sometimes it's blog. Sometimes it's like a something totally different. And so I think YouTube is a good tool when you want to make quote unquote eye contact with your audience, with your potential customer. And you want to not just like, hey, let me tell you about something like you tend to do, not you personally, but people tend to do on like podcasts and things, but more of a like, follow me as I type of thing, right? That's kind of works well with video. You get, people can kind of get immersed into that story and really get to know a character, which they can do in other platforms as well. But YouTube has this opportunity of combining the visuals and the audio together. It also has an opportunity where these videos can rank well in search results and on YouTube themselves. YouTube is the second largest search engine on the planet, second to Google itself. And so there's a lot of discovery opportunities there, but even bigger than those discovery opportunities, I get excited about the one thing that's unique to YouTube that doesn't happen anywhere else is that most people discover content on YouTube through the homepage or through suggested videos. And this is where like YouTube just figures out who your content is for and who really wants it. They don't even have to go look for it. YouTube will just put it in front of them, right? Which is like when we're working with clients and we see explosive growth happen, like viral videos, it doesn't happen anymore because of high shareability. And it doesn't, I have never seen anyone have a quote viral video because of searching and ranking and search results. It's like 93% of that traffic comes from the homepage. Yeah. And that is just when YouTube's like, no one's looking for this, but we know who will resonate with this content and we're just putting it in front of them now. And it has a good title, a good thumbnail, it draws people in. And that's where we see our clients go from like 2,000 subscribers a day to like 39,000 subscribers per day. And that's a real true story. Blow past 1 million subscribers, 2 million subscribers, just kept going. It actually collapsed his business in some ways. Not collapsed, that's a little too strong a word. It put a lot of pressure on the business. And so he kind of went back to his former way of doing videos again, which had about 2,000 subs a day. But I like YouTube for this discoverability opportunities for people who aren't looking for your content. I like that you can do the work once and it can potentially continue to perform for you on an ongoing basis. Unlike a lot of content out there, it's kind of there for live for like 24 hours and it goes away. I like that you can grow an audience, grow a following, and make a real, like in our experience, me and my wife, make a real human connection with people, that people really connect to you. And there's a lot of flexibility too, in terms of the style and the way you deliver the message and the way you deliver the value to your audience. So for all those reasons and more, yeah, I am a fan of YouTube. But
wow, such good points there. I'll piggyback off that. I especially like how you mentioned the homepage and suggested video side of things. Because I, as a marketer, I never actually thought of YouTube like that. I was like, oh, yeah, your keyword do the stuff. You know, you write the right keywords and get the high traffic and low competition. That's how YouTube's done. But now I think of it as a user. I'm a huge fan. I don't know if you are, Tim, but I'm a huge fan of like olden day wrestling, WCW wrestling in the 90s and that, right?
Okay.
And that's what I like watching on YouTube. And now I know all the big channels, not personally, but that's wrestling bios, that's Bruce Pritchard, you know, I know all the, because YouTube shows it to me. Obviously, so I've watched a few of them and now YouTube's like, this guy likes all these things. Let's keep showing him all this thing here. And it's just a great experience for me as the user, because I'll go on there and I'm like, oh yeah, I know this channel. Let me watch them. Oh yeah, I know this channel. Even if I don't subscribe, it still comes up there and I'm like, oh yeah, they know I want to watch this. So that's
most of the channels I watch, I don't haven't subscribed to because I don't need to, because I just watch them and YouTube learns what you want to watch and what you want to see. And then it just puts it in front of you and more stuff I haven't discovered before.
Now, I just want to take a minute and let everyone know, if you're a course creator, you've already got a course and it's not quite selling, or if you're still in the process of putting your course together, at the Course Creator Community, we actually have a VIP group coaching program. It's the best program of its kind and the most affordable as well. So if you'd like some extra help and guidance in either putting your course together or selling your online course, I recommend joining the Course Creator Community VIP program. I'll put the links down in the show notes. A couple questions here, Tim. The first one is around topics. In your opinion, and this might be a hard question, but can any type of topic work on YouTube, or do some work better than others? Because there might be someone listening to this and being like, hey, I'm a Spanish teacher, you know, will that work? Someone else is like, hey, I'm a, you know, relationship person after divorce, you know, what's your take on the topics?
So when you say it works, are you saying in terms of conversions into a sale? Or are you talking about like audience potential size in terms of how many views you could get?
Let's start with probably both, to be honest. If you can tell us in terms of maybe audience size, can I, you know, build a YouTube channel, but then also can I have a profitable business? Because I'm guessing those two things may be different, right?
Sometimes. Yeah. So in terms of how it works, I think you and I can both agree that like there's just different market sizes for different topics, right? So there's some really broad appeal type of content like Mr. Beast or Jimmy Fallon or whatever. And there's really narrow appeal, like copyright law for music lawyers in Nashville, Tennessee, right? Like really specific. Okay. Now it doesn't mean that one has a lot more potential audience than the other. Right. So like, let's take me, for example, my channel, I think we're at like close to 600,000 subs or something. And we haven't really honestly been that active on it for about 2 years. So it's, turns out most of our best clients don't come from YouTube. They don't watch YouTube. So they come from other sources. But so it's really important. That's like kind of the point I'm making. It's really important to know where is your target audience. And a lot of times they might be on YouTube. And we certainly do get some traction from YouTube. But we focus on where are those people hanging out, and let's just get in front of them. Because when you're trying to grow a business and you're trying to sell an online course, it's more important, it's better from a business perspective that you get in front of 100 of the right people than like 10,000 of the wrong people. Right? You could be in front of a football stadium of the wrong people and not get a single transaction, and that your message will bounce off all those people and not serve a single one. But if you can get in front of 10 of the right people and 10 of those people convert into sales, well, that's been much better for you, right? So we've helped our clients sort of first figure out like, who are you going after? And then if we're using YouTube, which in our case we usually are, but we don't always presume that, then What type of content are they watching, and what kind of content would they watch if it showed up, popped up in front of them on the homepage? And that's kind of how we approach then the strategy overall is because YouTube algorithms, they don't care about our keywords anymore. This changed like back. I knew why people keep talking about it, but YouTube, they switched, the algorithm switched with this big blog post back in 2012. Right.
Oh, wow.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes. They said from keyword based matching stuff to watch time. Mm-hmm. And in other words, like, we're going to now, like, you are the uploader, the creator is not the one who's responsible for how this video ranks anymore. Now we're going to track how people respond to your content, like, and viewer signals in terms of watch time and session time and satisfaction and engagement, things like that. And that's when they're like, that's how YouTube now determines. Not how is this video going to rank, but more importantly, who is this video going to rank for? Because when you do the exact same search query I do on YouTube, you're going to get very different results than I'm going to get based on our viewing patterns, based on the channels we're subscribed to, based on previous search queries we've made already. And if you really tend to engage with animated content, but YouTube learns I really engage with live action content or whatever, right? So there's no such thing as ranking number one anymore. It's all about ranking number one for the right person, which is what YouTube's trying to figure out. They want to surface the right video to the right person at the right time. That's the goal of the algorithm. So it's not about YouTube trying to find viewers for videos. It's the other way around. It's YouTube has these viewers and they're trying to get the right video to the right viewer. So it's a viewer centric platform. So our strategy revolves all 100% around that, because it's been like 10 years since YouTube is going after keywords and switched to going after people. So I feel like I'm just rambling right now.
My next follow-up question goes directly from that anyway, is in terms of skill set, Tim. So let's say, for example, what skill sets does someone need? Do they need to naturally be good at it? And here I'm talking in terms of, do they need to be a good speaker? Do they need to have be good with tech? Do they need to have a studio to record at? And obviously there's levels of this. But what sort of skill sets do you think someone should be good at? And then maybe the opposite as well. Maybe you're like, hey, if you're this kind of person, maybe YouTube doesn't work, or if there's workarounds. What can you tell us in terms of skill sets?
I like that you're using the word skill. That's not the word most people use, but that is the right word to use, because this is a skill that takes time to develop. It's not a switch that you flip and all of a sudden like, well, this person's got the personality, this person doesn't. This person has the right equipment. I worked with a channel, true story, about 2 years ago now. They had 7 full-time people on this channel, all of them with Hollywood production backgrounds. It was a vegan channel. They shot one video. They published one video every week for a year. It's about 50 videos. They were shooting in a commercial kitchen in LA with a paid actress who is vegan. And they were shooting in 8K. 8K, wow. Like epic red camera is like way overkill for YouTube or anywhere for that matter, except for like an IMAX screen, maybe. And I'm not vegan, but I'm watching this stuff. I'm thinking like, that looks good. I could eat that. Like, and after at the end of it, they're like, Tim, they did a one-on-one consultation with, they're like, Tim, why is it that we've invested literally hundreds of thousands of dollars into this channel? We know what we're doing when it comes to production. This is the best content on YouTube for vegan stuff. Why is it that our top video only has 24 views?
Yeah. Wow.
And the kicker was, but there's this guy in his basement with a webcam getting freaking millions, right, of views. What the heck? Like, why is it that our content is better? His content is blurry. He doesn't even edit it. Like, why is he getting millions of views? And when I told them the same thing I'll tell you, which is like, people don't care about, like you're coming at this from a television perspective. They don't care about production value as much as they care about connection value.
Yeah,
like this is that. YouTube is social media. Remember, like this is not just a place where you do presentations, although you can do that, but it's a place where you spark conversations. People want to feel like, and especially something around veganism, it has core beliefs behind it. It's got creeds. It's got like, it's an emotional thing for people. And I was like, I watched most of your videos and I told them, I don't even know your host's name.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we didn't want to do that because we wanted the emphasis to be on the food and the focus not on her. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But people don't connect with food as naturally as they connect with people, right? Yeah. So really what it comes down to make, quote, good content is not really about production. Your iPhone is probably, or your Android is probably very sufficient for like 80% of what you need to do to get started. What it really comes down to, this is what we work with our clients on, is not the production value, but the connection value. Because the thing that holds people's attention to watch, to get more watch time on videos, is not your fancy editing. Yeah. It's not like, I've done videos that have been edited by Hollywood editors who like edit television shows for Apple and NBC and ABC. And I know they're all American, you know, networks, but like all these big places. And it got like on my channel, I think it got like 30,000 views or something, but it wasn't, I thought it's the connection. It's the quality of the story. So when we work with our clients, it's about one, how do we tell better stories and engage people? But then two, what are the signals that someone needs to pick up on in your content to quickly fall in love with you, your brand, understand who you are, what you're all about, why they want to keep watching? And if you can create content that gets someone to feel something, not just understand something on an intellectual basis, but like maybe it starts there, but it ends up by the end of the video, it's like, huh, this person's really smart. And I kind of like this lady. Or I kind of like this guy, right? And that's the thing that gets them to want to click and watch another. That's the thing that holds their attention. That emotional connection is what gets them to subscribe, to want to come back and watch more content. It's not because you had some information that no one else had. It's about that they feel like they connected to you and you understand them and there's an emotional bond. So how do we quickly make an emotional connection in a video becomes the thing that becomes the most important part of the most important skill to develop. That makes it, and titles and thumbnails are important too, but in terms of content creation, it's like, how quickly can you get someone to connect with you and your story and who you are? That's what, like when we opened up here, I opened with my story and you said you felt something, you said you were inspired. It wasn't because I communicated any information about how to grow on YouTube, but now you're more inspired to take action because of the story I told, not because of the information I gave. So it's little things so like that.
It's fascinating listening to this because because I do like YouTube as a user, right? And I'm just reverse engineering everything you're saying in my head. And I'm like, that's exactly why I like that channel. And that's exactly why I like that channel. And there's a couple really good examples. Another thing I like is true crime, but Australian true crime, okay, which is very small. It's not like the US where you've got the mafia and you've got, you know, all the prison stories and all that. It's very small. It's like two or three YouTubers that speak about it in Australia. And one of them doesn't even have video. He's literally just a blank screen up there. And it's just him talking about, you know, his experience in jail. And he mentioned at the start, he's like, hey, I don't want to put my face on camera for, you know, obvious reasons. So I'm just going to have a background here. And, you know, this is just the easy, I don't want to do a podcast. I want to do it on YouTube. So, and I connect with his voice, even though I've never seen him, right? I connect with his voice, connect with the story. And you're right. It is the thumbnail. The thumbnail gets me a bit, but I think if I already know the person, it's the title.
Exactly.
I look at it, it scrolls through and I'm like, I know the guy. Nah, I'm like, oh, that's a good title. Let me go and watch that there. And I don't even think he has a huge subscriber base or a lot of views, but it's kind of like if I was going to buy a book on Australian true crime, I'd buy his because he's like the only one that does it, you know? And like all these subscribers, I'm sure would just buy, even though there's, you know, probably in the low thousands, I think he's got, if that, but I'm sure it would be a successful business. So love that. Okay, Tim, let's pivot a little bit here. You're a course creator yourself, and I'm sure you help a lot of course creators too. A question I like to ask all my guests is what platform they use. So let's start there. But I believe also you've got a kind of new thing you're trying as well. Can you let us know a little bit about the course side of things?
Yeah. So the courses are our courses. We have a course called 30 Days to Better YouTube Channel. That's our foundations level course. And then there's our advanced level YouTube growth course, which is more of a group coaching program. So it's material with access to a strategist that you work with and things. And that's called Video Labs. And both of those courses, and we have a few others too, but those are our main flagship ones. And those are both hosted on Thinkific. Been using those guys for years and love that platform for a lot of different reasons. The other platform you mentioned that we're kind of like experimenting with, and I don't care what platform you're using, whether it's Mighty Networks or Teachable or Thinkific or something else like Podia or whatever. They're all kind of doing the same thing. Which is like, it's mostly like you set up your course and then there's this community. It's a text-based community. In other words, I read that as like, it's really easy for people to disengage. And so the problem I was bumping into with our courses was like, yeah, we get people to sign up and we get people to buy it. And they might go through the first few lessons and they engage in the community. But then by the end of like the group coaching program, for example, is 8 weeks long. At the end of the 8 weeks, only like 40% of the people are like still engaged. And I'm like, oh, what's going on here, guys? And all the course experts are like, well, Tim, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And I'm like, yeah, but if I did all the work to lead them to water, is there not something else I can do to help them actually drink when they get here? Like, isn't the point to drink, not to get them to the water? Because I actually want people to see results. I want them to get the value that they paid for. I want them to spread their message and reach more people and change more lives and grow their businesses and everything. I want that to happen. I don't feel good about the transaction just if they feel good about it. I want them to actually get the value out of it that they paid for, right? So I got frustrated with the attrition I was seeing for our courses. I know it's a common thing, but I wasn't satisfied with it. So stumbled across this platform, this app called Volley, and it takes a very different approach. It's not text-based, it's video-based. It's basically like if you merge Slack with like Marco Polo or Snapchat or something, or another way to think about it is if you put like group video text messaging, but in a way that is not overwhelming and is totally natural works like flawlessly, like just really well. So we're like, okay, well, let's try this instead. And I just ran as a beta experiment test with like one course I was called Business Labs that helps creators get from six figures to seven figures a year on YouTube, and just tested it with them. And normally in our group coaching programs, we have to limit it to 20 people because we can only give so much people so much attention in our weekly Zoom calls and things. But this, I had 50 people, like over double. And it eliminated the need for Zoom calls. And it allowed, because it's asynchronous video chat. So people come in, they like leave a video message and then like a minute or two long, then someone else comes and replies. And then I jump in and reply, then someone else does a response to that. This is ongoing like video conversation that happens. And it eliminated the need for Zoom meetings, which meant that now our courses were open to more people, regardless of, they didn't have to have their schedules aligned with the course schedule, and their time zones didn't really matter anymore. But the most important thing is that by the end of the 8 weeks, almost 100% of the people were still engaged. And I'm like, okay, well, this is a fluke. So I tried it again in a different program, same results. And so what happened now is like one strategist on my team, instead of being able to work with only 20 creators, now they are able to handle over 100, and the creators actually are getting more value because we're in a Zoom call. It's like everyone's got to only get so much time. And then the people who are like the most talkative end up taking more time from the people who are less talkative, right? But this way, everyone gets equal airtime. And because we're not doing Zoom meetings, and doing a text-based messaging platform where it takes time to like crank out messages and read it and stuff, we're just talking. And it's like a 30-second, 1-minute response. And it's much faster than we have saving so much time, and people are being served so much better that now one strategist is handling over 100 students. That's in crazy. It. We're using it now for our one-on-one clients as well as like our course platform. So we're instead of supporting people in a text-based community, we're just getting them into this video chat thing, and it is just blowing around. And it's free. It's like, you know, it's amazing. So it's allowed our team to 5x our capacity and serve people better in less time. And I know that sounds like a good sales headline, but it's actually true for us. You know,
Let me get my head around it a bit more, Tim. So you used to do like a weekly Zoom meeting. You're saying that's what you used to do with these courses. Mm-hmm. And now
with Volley, the group coaching.
Yep. Awesome. And now with Volley, it's like, I had a quick look on it before. The interface looks kind of like Slack, right? You jump on there and there's different channels. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and then exactly. If someone was to do your course, there's a specific channel for their cohort or for the course in general. How does that sort of thing work?
Okay. Yeah. Good question. So the way it works is we have one, like in Slack, you have a workspace, right? So we have one space in Volley for the course overall for Video Labs, let's say, for example. Gotcha. And then inside there's different channels that you can create a Volley in. So like there's a channel that we have one channel for every lesson in the course material. Gotcha. So there's assignments with the material. Then at the end of the assignments, it's like, okay, here, do this assignment and then go report on it in post a Volley in this channel, telling us what your experiences was or any questions you have or feedback you want on the work that you're doing or whatever. And so people can still work through the material at their own pace and still engage with whoever else is working at that part of the course material at the same time they are. Gotcha. So someone could go through it really quickly if they wanted to complete the whole thing. And I don't think you could do it in 4 weeks. You'd be really hard pressed to do it in quicker than 8 weeks. There's a lot of assignments that are designed to get results, right? So they each take about 5 hours each a week, but, I suppose theoretically you could go faster. So you could go through it at or you can take longer. We do give people up to 12 weeks of access to us in Volley, but yeah, so you're just getting into the channels inside of the space and you're just engaging with the people who are at the same point you are in the course material.
So, and then when let's say I purchased the course, you know, I watch unit one, I've got my action task, I go into Volley and then I'll go to unit one and I'll see, you know, the last couple of videos that people have taken. I can go and watch those videos there. And that makes me kind of part of the community, right? Oh, you know, Tim's just got this one here. Oh, that makes sense. I'll give Tim what I think of that or whatever. And then I post my video in there. That's kind of how it works.
That's right. Yeah. And then the strategist on my team right now, Luke is in there and he's watching all of them, providing feedback and giving input as well. So you can get that one-to-one personalized feedback from a YouTube strategist while you're working through the process without having to schedule Zoom meetings, have to schedule calls, get feedback without having to be an email. And we can just crank through those like really fast. You can watch them on double speed. So we watch them really fast as well. But people tend to kind of go through it at a similar pace. So it's not like you're on your own. People tend to kind of like just kind of naturally group up with a few people who tend to work through it at a similar pace. So you do get to know other creators in there. And then there's some other channels as well that are just like random and off topic and, you know, things that you can just post whatever you want.
The strategists, do they get notified every time a video kind of goes up that they need to check out, or does the strategist watch every single video?
They currently watch every single one.
Yeah.
And even with 100 people in there, it's not that overwhelming, you know, because you can just watch on double speed. It takes about a minute to reply and maybe 2 minutes, and then you're on to the next one. And so it's not like you got an email inbox of 100 emails that would take forever to respond to. Yeah. But a couple of videos, you can just pound through them, and like 45 minutes later, you're through all of them, or maybe an hour, something like that with 100. But yeah, so it's a lot more scalable way for us to serve more people better and give them more attention than they were getting before in just like a private Facebook group where people get lost. It's easy to miss messages and no one really gets the attention that they really want and they eventually disengage. But here, everyone stayed engaged, almost everyone. It was like out of like 100 people, there's like, you know, 4 or 5 people who disengaged. But overall, awesome. I've never seen this type of engagement. Yeah, it's been amazing.
I love it. Well, I'm going to have a look in. If there's course creators watching this and they want to check it out, should they just go to Volley, or do you have a channel on there, like a community one? What's the best?
Yeah. So The website is valleyapp.com, where you can kind of get a high level overview. And there's some pages on there. It talks more about how to use it for coaching. But I have Valley and I are both kind of collaborating on a space inside of Valley that's just for coaches and course creators and educators and experts. It's called Valley for Coaches. And I'll give you the link. You can put it in the show notes here. But yeah, if anyone wants to kick the tires and come ask questions, they can just come experience it for themselves. And me and the co-founder of Ollie are both active in there. There's also a mini course in there that he and I created together that helps, that you can go through and just like helps people understand, like, here's how you use Valley. Here's how we get people from our course into Valley. Here's how we manage expectations in terms of how long people should post and how often they should post, and how much time, how available we are. It's how we use it to make it stay in sync with the courses and everything. So it's like a quick little mini course there, but lots of opportunities to interact and ask questions and just, yeah, kick the tires and see if it's right for you or not. So, well, I'll give you that link you can put in the show notes.
Yes, I will. Okay, Tim, I want to be sensitive of your time. I know you're a busy person. There's just one question I like to finish off with, and that's in regards to mentors. You're obviously a mentor for plenty of people out there that want to grow on YouTube or do anything on YouTube. I'm curious to hear who your biggest mentors have been. And if you could answer this in a few different ways, if you could give us a paid mentor, so someone that you've paid money to, you've done their program or their course or their coaching, whatever it may be, someone that you haven't paid money to, but you follow them on social or watch them on YouTube, whatever it may be, and a book that you recommend every online course creator should read if they want to be successful in the online space. So mentors, paid, unpaid, and book.
Okay. Unpaid. I haven't talked to her for a few years, but back when I was starting Video Creators, I quickly found that, like, I know YouTube, but I don't really know business. Right. And unfortunately, it doesn't matter what I know about YouTube if I can't figure out how to make this sustainable for me and my family. So all my background's like in theology and ministry stuff, you know, it's like nothing like super practical for business development. So but I couldn't afford to hire anyone to help teach me. And I certainly read a lot of books, which maybe I'll recommend some here in a second. But there was a lady her name's Kim Castle, and she knew online marketing very well and branding, but wanted to grow her YouTube audience. And I'm like, well, can we just do a barter. Mm-hmm. Like, and so we got in, back then it was Skype was the big thing everyone used, right? So we got into Skype every twice a month, and every once a month it was my turn to help her with her YouTube strategy. And then the other week it was her turn to help me with my online business. And so it was very basic foundational stuff, but I didn't know what it was and had no idea these things existed or what these, so she was very instrumental to helping me get started and making and at least getting the groundwork for something that became more sustainable. I've paid a few. I would say the one I've paid that's been the most instrumental is probably, this is a little bit later now in our business, a guy named Rich Tile. And he's not like a big online personality or anything. He's actually a guy I met here in the Cincinnati area who he helps teams create alignment. And so one of the things I was really bumping into with our team as we were growing is this silo effect where you have certain people who work together, but they don't work with other people on the team. And all of a sudden you've got people kind of going in different directions and competing for resources and things. And I'm like, no, guys, we're all in one mission here together to reach people and change lives. And how do I bring alignment to a team as it grows? And so he was really helpful in helping us do that. So I brought him in as a consultant, and he did a whole bunch of sessions, and he still joins our team once a quarter just to kind of help us reevaluate our alignment, which has been amazing. But yeah, I've learned a lot from him about managing and running a business in a way that keeps everyone aligned and running the same direction, like by linking arms, as opposed to us all kind of doing our jobs. So yeah, that I would say Rich Tile. I think his website is Noble Foundry, or The Noble Foundry, something like that, .com. And then book, it's been a few. I have a long list of books.
Give us a few if you want, if one's more.
I'll give you a few. Yeah, E-Myth is a really classic must read one in terms of like creating systems and processes that continually create value for people. I actually have one right here that was really helpful for me called $100 Million Offers. I read this one by Alex
Reading it for the third time right now.
Okay, good. Yeah. How to make offers so good people feel stupid saying no.
Yeah.
And so in our business, we're kind of like, how do we make people feel stupid? Like, how do we do that? and so that's been really helpful for us from where we're at in our business currently. I really liked Ready, Fire, Aim by Michael Mathewson, I think it's called. That was really helpful, giving me like one of the more practical books in terms of how do I step-by-step create a million-dollar business and beyond. Story-Worthy by Matthew Dix is my go-to book I recommend whenever anyone wants to learn about storytelling. It's the most, again, the most practical book when it comes to how do I tell a story that makes a human deep connection with someone very quickly. And his context is from stage presentations, but it applies to video and YouTube and Instagram and podcasting and blogging and like everything. It's just basically like how do you tell a story that gets people to quickly engage. And so that book is really easy to listen to and or read, depending on what you do.
Okay. I'm just Amazoning this one now because I haven't heard that. Is that Matthew Dix, did you say?
That's correct. Yep. Story-Worthy by Matthew Dix.
Okay. Let me see if I can get it. It looks like I've just, did I go to Awesome? Yeah, there we go. Awesome. All right. Added to my list there. Awesome.
Yeah, and there's a couple others, but yeah, those are some of the top ones that come to mind first.
Well, I think we got similar tastes in book, Tim, in books. Oh, so yeah. E-Myth, when I first started in business, that was a life changer for me. Different way to think it. And yeah, $100 million offers. I think that's the best book I've ever read. I don't really know where. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, because I think there's a lot of marketing books out there, a lot of sales books out there, but they don't necessarily, in my opinion, there's not a lot that speaks specifically about that offer. And he's broken it down to a science. There's that one table in there where I can't remember it exactly, but it's got like the four quadrants. And it's kind of like, this is why people buy, you know, how big the desire is, how quick you give them the results, you know. And he's got the offer to a science. And I'm like, and I tested it. So I'd never really sold most of my courses used to be traditionally around the $500 mark. And I was like, all right, I'll try this guy's system and a few different things. It's put out a course for $2,000 and sold, you know, a few of those. I'd never sold something at $2,000. I was always $500 and at scale, you know? And I was like, wow, just by a few of these principles here, and he's got it to a science. You know, it's like, all right, he's the levers, you know, the urgency, the scarcity, the bonus, you know, the guarantee. He's got the guarantee to a science. You know, most people are like, 30-day money back guarantee. You know, he's got
we upped ours. Yeah. Because one of the aha moments I had from that book is that you don't, if you want to grow your business, you don't have just the pricing lever. You have this offer lever.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I just took it from the book, when we say now for our one-on-one clients, we have a different offer for each product, but for this one, it's like, if you follow this plan and don't hit your goal at the end of 3 months, then we will work with you for free until you do.
Yeah.
Right. And, and so like, if that's the offer everything else might stay the same, but you can charge a higher price now because people are more confident in it. Same with our group coaching. We're like, if you go through this program, and we may keep it subjective. All we say is like, if you go through this program and don't feel like you have everything you need to double your channel growth in the next 12 months, we will work with you for free until you do.
Yeah.
Right. So we're just like trying to make people feel stupid. That's like cool. The offer is so good, I feel stupid saying no. And same with all of our products and services now have something like that.
Well, I got done by that as well a couple of months ago. You know, someone was like, hey, here's our program. You know, it's $5,000 or $6,000 or whatever it was. You know, it's either you and here's our guarantee. If you don't make your money back by the end, same as yours. We'll work for free. And I was like, oh, it's a win-win. You know, either way, I'm getting my I'm getting my money back, so I may as well do it. And it's just like a subtle thing. And even like what a lot of – and the other good thing about that kind of guarantee as well, and Alex Hormozi mentions it in his book as well, is you're covered in case someone kind of changes, right? Because let's say it's a money-back kind – or let's say with that one there, let's say it was like, all right, cool, you know, if you don't make your money back, we'll refund you your money. That's okay. You could do it. But the limitation with that is someone might kind of change. Let's say I sign up for Tim's YouTube course. And then 3 months later, you know what? I don't want to go YouTube anymore. Tim, give me a refund. At least with this one here, it's kind of like, oh, if I don't hit my goal, it's like it's on me as the person. It's like I can't go back and ask for a refund. If I choose not to go YouTube anymore, hey, well, that's on me. I'm not going to do it anymore. Right. You know, and I'm not going to take Tim up of the offer of working for free. Right.
Well, some of the clients that we bump into that work with too, like they don't really want their money back. Like the money isn't the issue for them. Their more valuable thing is their time. Like I don't want to spend 3 months of my time in this and not hit this goal. And so that's why that offer is a time one where if you don't hit your goal in 3 months, we'll work with you for free till you do. There's no money. I mean, we'll give them the money back if they want it, but they don't ask for it because like for them, the reason they're doing this program is like, Tim, I don't have time to go through an online course. I don't want to sit down and try to figure all this out myself. I literally just want someone to give me a checklist of do this, do this, do this. And if you do these things in this order this month, then these are the results that you're going to get. Like, just make it simple for me. And that's what that program is. And those people like, yeah, time is more valuable to them than money. So that's why, yeah, the money back guarantee wouldn't really persuade them if you're already charging five figures for something. Like, you're not gonna, yeah, the money thing isn't as sensitive. They're more about the time. So that offer allows us to guarantee their time, not just their money.
Love it. Well, Tim, we're coming to the end here. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people watching this, listening to this, that are like, okay, this guy is cool. He's motivational. He knows his stuff. You know, I want to connect with him. Where's the best place we should go to connect with you? Is it your YouTube channel? Is it LinkedIn, Instagram? What's the best?
Well, I'm terrible at Instagram. I have one. It's just at Tim Schmoyer, but the best place probably is just go to videocreators.com if anyone's interested in diving into like our foundational level or group coaching or one-on-one type of YouTube services that we offer there. Connect with me personally. Bali is probably the best place. I mean, I'm so active there because it's just so simple and quick to interact and engage with so many people on a personal level without it taking a whole lot of time. It's like, it's so cool. So yeah. I would say if people join that Bali space for coaches, I'm in there. That'd be the quickest way to get in touch with me. Otherwise, yeah, go to videocreators.com and use the contact form there. That'll get in front of my, well, my assistant will get it and she'll either respond or put it in front of me depending on what it needs. So yeah.
Beautiful. Awesome. Well, Tim, that's pretty much all I wanted to cover today. Is there anything I should have asked you but forgot to, or is there anything you want to finish us off with?
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, usually people want to talk more about seven kids in 8 years, which is fine to talk about. They're like, first of all, they're like, how did you, no, wait, I know how you did that, but like how, what? That's usually kind of people's reactions, but yeah, that's, you don't have to ask me about that though. That's usually where people go. So I was expecting that, but that's all. No, it's been good. It's been fun. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. All right, Tim, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Course Creator Community Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort, and we'll catch you in the next episode.